So I don't know why you come here. Why do you come here? Why are you looking? What are you looking for? Driven by fear, like the rest of the world? Fearing this, fearing that, with the barking dogs, driven by the barking dogs in big herds. And just driven by fear, just doing those things that lead to unwholesome results. We've seen it over and over and over again in the history of our world. People do the wrong things because they are afraid. They're afraid that the things will happen. They're afraid that things that are unwholesome will happen to them. Because out of the fear, they just do that what they are afraid of. Just like people, when the ones few years ago went to Phuket, you know, they were washed away by a tsunami. Now they're afraid to go to Phuket, and maybe now they are going to Hawaii or to the west coast of Mexico, and then maybe this year they will be washed away there by a tsunami that comes there and washes them away. Driven by fear, they will meet with the fear or will meet with the ends that they are so afraid of. And most of our action is based on fear. We are afraid of this, so we try to avoid it and actually just run into it. Or we are afraid of fear and then we listen to this person or listen to that person. And then we feel secure. We feel secure because a lot of people listen to this person or listen to that person. They will feel secure within the herd. They don't know that the herd is going through the big door, like Jesus said, who is ending up in destruction. That's where we end up. End up in the lower realms. Most of us will end up there. Once the Venerable Ananda asked the Lord Buddha, how many people are going to heaven, how many people are going to hell? And he pointed out, do you see that bull over there? How many horns does he have? These are the people who go to heaven or go to Nirvana. And you know how many hairs he has on his fur? These are the people who go to hell. So, it's a very clear picture. It's too crisp. And of course, every one of us is one of the horns. We all believe it. That's why we believe in Buddhism, because we are afraid of going to hell. Or we believe in Christianity or in God, because we are afraid to go to hell. And that's exactly where we are going. Just the description of Jesus or the description of the Lord Buddha just points out that the masses are going. And there's no way to prevent it. There's no way to prevent it. If we are not going to change, if we are not going to change, not to react on our fear or use our fear, just to do wholesome things. But people don't use their fear to do wholesome things. They use their fear to do unwholesome things. Because to do wholesome things is so hard. It's so difficult. It is swimming against the stream, the mainstream of our society. And who likes to be always alone? Who likes to be separated from the others? We are hurt. We are beings who like to live in herd. The herd of the cow, they are driven by the fear of from the dogs, aren't they? So are we. So to go against the mainstream, to swim against the stream, what other people are doing is always difficult. To do wholesome things while the whole world is doing unwholesome things is difficult. And that's why we go along with them and hope them the masses cannot go, all the masses cannot go to hell. That's why we are saved. That's why we do just the things that other people are doing. That's why we go the way just like other people are going. Because we feel secure in the masses that are going down to hell. At least we are not alone in hell. We might be alone in heaven, because there's nobody going to do that. So fear can be used. When we're here to practice, we can use fear in a positive sense. We are afraid of to do unwholesome things or to do action that leads to unwholesome results. When we use fear in this way, then it's using fear in a proper sense. Not to believe, not just to believe this or just to believe that. Just to do things that are wholesome. And that is mostly against the stream. Mostly against the mainstream of the world. They are not doing things that are leading to wholesomeness. They are just doing things what they like and destroying things what they dislike. That is the mainstream. So for us is not to go for the things that we like and not to go away from the things we dislike. That is the way of practice. And that is difficult. It needs attention. It needs awareness. It needs sati every moment. Every moment we are prone to do something that has unwholesome effects. Every moment. The moment an action, the moment a thought comes in, the moment a memory comes in, the moment a feeling comes in, that will lead to action. And this action will always lead to unwholesome effects if we are not aware of it and if we do not counterstir it. If we do not go against the stream of our habits. If we decide not to do, not to follow that impulse that comes or is born of our thoughts or is born of our memory or is born of our feeling, and just stay with what is and not going into, not buying into this thing, this will lead to wholesome effects. Or otherwise, if we see that something that will lead to unwholesomeness, we reverse it and let it lead to wholesomeness. That means a thought of greed and hate we replace with a thought of generosity. A thought of hate we replace with a thought of loving kindness. We are training ourselves here to replace things. To replace thoughts. When we train ourselves in the samadhi, then we replace the thoughts that come into our mind with the word Buddha, with the thought Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. And while there is Buddha, there cannot be any unwholesome thoughts. Only if our mindfulness is not big enough, then the other thoughts are coming in, and mostly are in the background, and we do not catch them because our awareness, our sati, is not strong enough to catch them. So we have to increase our interest. And increasing our interest in the practice, in this word Buddha, just this word Buddha, and nothing else. And you will see if you do that the whole day, how fierce of a fight this is. What enormous fight it is not to let any other thought come in. Not to let, if some thought has come in, not to let any thought, other thought than Buddha, stay in our heart. That is so extremely difficult that we give up. And say, oh well, no. It's not my merit that I go to do practice. It's not this or it's not that. We will see, we will encounter the difficulties. While we do the practice of samadhi or the practice of samatha, what means come. When we practice the samatha, that means we concentrate on one point, be it the Buddha or be it the breath at the tip of the nose. That's all what we concentrate. And we are aware of the breath, or we are aware of the Buddha while it comes into the mind. We are constantly aware of each moment, of each present Buddha. We do not think about the previous Buddha or about the next Buddha or about what is going to happen or what has happened. We just think about this one thing. Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Or observe this one thing. The breath coming in and the breath going out. But the mind gets lazy or the mind gets bored. Once the mind gets bored, that shows us we don't have any more interest in this object. We are interested in everything else, actually. We are interested in everything else than the Buddha or than the breath. We want to think about this, we want to think about that. We want to think what we can do now with all our practice we have done in the past. What kind of life we can lead. And then we are gone in the future, we paint the future. And of course the future is always rose red. It is never dark. The past might have been dark, the present moment is dark, but the future is in rose-red light. Beautiful, happy, and so on. And where is this beautiful and happiness coming from? Just from our thoughts, just from our imagination. What had actually happened in the past were all dark thoughts. What happens in the present moment is worry, is hardship. So that does not lead to happiness. Now the next moment will be hardship, and the next moment after that will be hardship, or will be worries, or will be fear, or will be anything. So where can happiness come in? What will make happiness come in? Just through our thoughts. And that's the way how the Kilesas paint our future. It's always good. It's always happy. It's always perfect. But when the future comes and becomes the present moment, it's always unhappy, it's always dissatisfied. The power of the Kilesas or the power of Avijja is so great, it still fools us. Even if we have gone through 30 years of experience, it still fools us that the future will be better than the present moment. How can it be better? If the present moment is not good, the future will be not good. Because the future is the next moment. That won't be good. In the next moment, that won't be good. If we are not going to interfere with the power of Kilesas, if we do not take a stance, if we do not get up for a fight, and fight for our freedom, fight for the freedom of not being fooled. But you know that is difficult. We all experience it, how difficult it is not to be fooled by this sweet voice of the Kilesas that paint us this brilliant and bright future. We are constantly fooled, and we like to be fooled. Because we actually don't like to live in the present moment that gives us so much hardship. That shows us actually that all the things that we think are so nice are not in order. Are not so nice. We look at the body that we always think is so beautiful. And when we see it, how it sits in pain, we don't think it's so beautiful. We experience it. And that's what we don't want to see. That's what the Kilesas don't want to see. They don't want to see the reality of things. They want to fool themselves. They want to live in the illusion of what they dream. They want to live in their own illusion of that the world is the happiest place, or my partner is the happiest person, or this, or this, or that. Or if I'm rich, or if I would be rich, you know, that would be, make me very happy. Or if I would have this, this would be make me very happy. They always want to live, or they always live into an illusion. And living in the present moment, practicing to stay in this present moment, disillusions us. And who wants to be disillusioned? Disillusioned, in the English sense or in the German sense, is a very negative word. We are disillusioned, our friend disillusioned us, our partner disillusioned us, the world disillusions us. And it mostly stands, you know, that we are going into a depression. Because we realize that the things are not like we dreamed there. So within this depression we build up another illusion how it would be nice. So once we come back out of our depression, we are back into the illusion again. And both are the realms of avijja. Illusion and depression are the realms of the avijja. And from one to the other, we switch. We switch into the illusion of the heavenly realms and fall back in the depression of the hell realms. And that's it. We go from heaven, just in order to go to heaven, to fall down to hell. And from hell, you know, we go back up to hell. It's constantly living in this illusion. And the Lord Buddha was the one who pointed it out, that we are actually living in an illusion. So we actually should be grateful if somebody points something out to us that disillusions us. But no, we take a stance, we take a fight. We don't want to be disillusioned. We just want to live in our world of dreams. And if somebody is going to knock down our dreams, we are getting very, very angry. Some of us might get so angry that they are going to kill that person who took them off, or who told them that actually they are living in an illusion. They are living in the illusion that they are good people. We are not good people. They are living in the illusion that if they do this, then they will get that. Or that they are this, or that they are that. And then somebody comes along and says they are not this. And then they are afraid that that is actually true. So that something is running out to defend themselves. No, 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 what you say is not true. And this is not just a story. It just happens every moment. Every moment, every second of our life. Especially when we are out in the world, when we meet other people, when we meet situations, we are constantly rushing out for the defense of our illusion. And we don't like it. And we specifically don't like it. And specifically when we come from the West. If somebody disillusions us. But now coming back to the path of the Lord Buddha. The path of the Lord Buddha is the path of disillusion, to seeing the things as they really are. And that starts with this very, very present. This very present moment shows us all the things that are there. Nothing else. And now this present moment, and then the next present, and then the next present moment. And after 5 present moments, when we have enough sati to have 5 present moments, then we get bored, because there's nothing exciting about this present moment. The excitement lives all in our illusions, lives all. The excitement lies all in our illusions, lies all in our dreams. That's where our excitement lies. It lies in the past that we manipulated, because what we remember are only the good things. We do not remember, or we don't want to remember, all the things that were painful, that were not so good. So now you can imagine how hard it is to take a stance, to take a fight, just to be in this present moment and to realize, to open our heart, to see that this, what we experience right now in this present moment, is everything. It's complete in itself. Every moment is complete in itself. But no, we have our views and we have our opinion. We have our views, this must be better, or this should go better, or this should go this way, or this should go that way. That the cock should cry backwards and not forward. All these things. That now it should be warm when it's cold, or now it should be cold or cooler when it's warm. Now it should not rain, or now we should not be tired, or so on, or so on. These are all our illusions we are still living in. And this is one thing that we do have to better. And we will see, after a while we get tired. We really get tired. Because we do not want to accept the truth. Avijja does not want to accept the truth. So we have to point the nose of avijja into the truth and tell it, see, that's how things really are. See it, understand it. See it, understand it. That's the only way things are. Point its nose into the smelling shit and see how it stinks. See how it smells. See, or point it into the pain. See how it's painful. See how it is. And this is the education of avijja. It is to make avijja clear that the things that it imagines are not the way the things really are. But of course, because it wants to live in its illusion, it is very difficult to convince. And if you do not convince it, if it's not convinced after 10 times, then we might have to convince it 100 times, 1,000 times, and maybe even 1,000,000 times, or 2,000,000 times, before it understands that it's not the way it believes to be, that it's just the way it is. So actually you can say about the training of the citta, it's a training or the education of avijja. Or it's the education of the heart that covers up the citta. Avijja that covers up the citta. It's the education of avijja to let go. Or it's the education of the heart. And at the moment the heart and the citta are nearly one and the same thing. And until we can separate it and say, see, this is avijja, and this is the citta, or this is the dhamma. Or what we find in the process of practice is, then we will find two sources. The sources of light and the sources of dhamma. But at the moment, at the beginning of our practice, all what we find is avijja. It has covered up this heart so for such a long time that we don't even know what our true heart is. That's why we are practicing first samadhi or samadhi. Getting the mind calm and realizing what there really is. And if you go into the stage of apana samadhi, then avijja actually takes leave for that time. So we will see what the true heart is like. We will get an experience, and an experience that we will never ever forget. Not in this life. We will never forget the experience when once there is one-pointedness, once there is something that is called clear awareness or clear knowingness or crisp knowingness or crisp awakeness. Because actually, most of the time you're just sleeping. You're daydreaming. Even when we're practicing, we're daydreaming. Dreaming about this, dreaming about that, dreaming about our own practice. We are not clearly, crisp aware, sharp aware of what is going on. We're dreaming of what is going on. We're dreaming that we are with the Buddha. Or we're dreaming that we are with the breath. But we are not. Once we are really with the breath, then there is something that is such a sharp awareness, such a sharp awakeness, that feels so good, that feels so terrific, that we don't forget that. We are so alert to what is happening every moment, every single moment. It's something that we will never forget. Because most of the time we are just dumb. We are just so dumb. We are just so stupefied. Stupefied by our own reasons, stupefied by our own views, or in other words, blinded when we look at the Western world or Western hemisphere. Blinded by our own science. We believe all these things. We believe all this crap that we have been educated. Or educated. We believe in science much more than we believe in the church or religion. Any other kind of religion. If a doctor says you have to take this, this is medicine, then we believe him. More than if God would have said it to us, or if the Lord Buddha would have said it to us. When the Lord Buddha says, you know, we should not take care of the sick people, we should take care of our sick heart, that is the main emphasis. So when people, when Thanachamabo was still young and he was still training his monks, so when a monk came to him and said he wanted to see the doctor because he feels sick about this and that, then Thanachan Mahabodha said to him, yeah, sure, you can go. But you know, pack your things and don't ever come back. It's not the way to cure sickness. The way of a practitioner is to cure the sickness within his heart. Not by running to this doctor or to that doctor. And some of the monks believe much more in the doctors than in the Lord Buddha. Sickness comes from our heart. That's where it starts. It can be karma or it can be just momentary. So how do we treat it? Of course we go and run for medicine that does take care of the symptoms but does not take care of the roots of the symptoms. Or the You see what we're doing all our life. Of course there is a value for medicine. But use it wisely. Don't just gulp it down. Just to get rid. And that is our primary action. We want to get rid of painful feelings. We do not want to experience sickness or the symptoms of sickness. So we get rid, we run to the doctor and we get rid of the symptoms and then we feel relieved. And the next time the sickness comes again and then we run again. And if it's our karma, you know, then the medicine will help. If it's not our karma, the medicine will not help. But we will never get rid of the root of our sickness. Because the root of our sickness is very, very down in our own heart. That's where it is. And if we remove it from our own heart, if we uproot it, then it won't come again. And that is the teaching of Thanachaman, that is the teaching of Thanachamahabodha, and that is the teaching of the Lord Buddha. But of course, it does not. It does not fit in with our Western thoughts. It just doesn't fit in. Because we believe much more in science, or medicine, or whatever, than we believe in our own heart. Then we believe that we are actually, our own heart actually, is the cause of all the troubles. We believe always that somebody else put us into trouble. We always find a scapegoat who is guilty for our unpleasant feelings. Now this virus is guilty, or this government is guilty, or this friend is guilty, or this person is guilty. We are never ever admit that we are the ones who are guilty. That we are the ones who sown the seed of the karma that in the past that we reap just right now at this present moment. Nobody else has sown the seed except for us. But we want to be like children, irresponsible children. They just can do whatever they want, but they will never be liable. They will never be made responsible for their actions. Because they are children. And as long as they don't go to the age of 16, they are not responsible for whatever they do. Whatever bad they are doing, they are not responsible. The parents are held responsible for them. Now that means for us, we have to grow up. And Buddhism is actually taking on responsibility for our own actions. Grow up. Don't be dumb. Don't be blinded. Grow up and get awake. Wake up. Wake up to the truth that is there in this very present moment. It's nowhere else. The truth lies in this very, very, very moment. The truth is nothing that we can attain to. People in the West, they believe they can attain to enlightenment. What is this? It's just one of these foolish views. Our citta is already enlightened. We just don't see it because it's covered up by mountains of shit, by mountains of blocks, by mountains of stones. And if we want to get there, we have to do the hard work of removing all these ugly things that are in the way to our liberated shit. We have to remove the heavy stones that we are unwilling to remove. We have to remove the bad, stinking, smelling shit that we don't want to touch. But this is the only way to come to the realization of liberty. To come to the realization of the end of time. Only if we start digging in the shit, digging in the unpleasant way. That's how we can remove everything that covers up our true chitta. So, the thing is, it is there in this present moment. The truth is there. It's hidden by all our views, by all our knowledge, by all our opinions. And we are full of them. We are so full of them that we are even blinded by them. It's a very nice phrase, to be blinded by science. But that's actually what happens to our present age. We are blinded by this science that tells us everything about the universe, it tells us everything about ourselves, it tells us everything about the world. What is going to happen and what is likely to happen, how the weather will be, when the next volcano eruption will be, Actually, they are not pretty accurate with that. About the tsunami, they weren't actually completely out of the dark. But they still believe, you know, they can do it. And we believe them. We believe them much more because it's so easy to believe. Yet it's so difficult to do. And doing this, to get into the knowledge of our heart, is the most difficult thing. It's the hardest work that we can think of in this world. So not a lot of people will be willing to undergo this hard work. But there's no work that is more fruitful. Every stone that we put away, that that is in the way to our citta, will be removed. Not like the worldly world. Actually, what we are piling up is bad laundry or dirty laundry. By what we are doing in the world, we're piling up more and more and more dirty laundry. And in the end, you know, we have a mountain of dirty laundry to wash. And once we see that mountain of the dirty laundry we have to wash, we are not willing to do it. We just pile up more and more and more. And this is the way, that is the deluded kind of person. So what shall I do? What shall I do with you? As long as you know stays here, it's fine. We are deluded and we want to be deluded. And in front of you is a deluded teacher.
So we are all deluded too.
That's why you come here. Bright people who come here, people who are really bright, and it happened that they apparently came here. After a while they realize how deluded I am, so they will leave. They will go to the bright teachers there in the West who give them the attainment of enlightenment. So they can attain to enlightenment, or they find some ways or views that they actually, you know, what is happening is not themselves. They misunderstand the teaching. Good. Good. Be a good dog, yeah? So where was I?
Clever people go to clever teachers. They
want to enlightenment, you know, and if they can't get enlightenment, you know, they take the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Everything is anatta, that is not me, that is not myself, that doesn't belong to me. So who cares what I'm doing? You know, it's not myself anyway. So I don't have to worry, I just wait, you know, and do whatever I like and hate whatever I dislike. Get rid of what I dislike and go for what I love. Because it's not myself anyway. So what do I care about all these things? I just do. That's one of the wrong views. So where are they? You know. That's why bright people go and leave. Because they see how deluded I am. I cannot teach. All what I teach them is painful feelings, misery.
Should I stop and should I start?
No, you should not yet. It's not yet finished.
I just don't feel like I have traction.
I need to close my talk first. I haven't yet closed it. I'm just looking for a way how to close. So we are deluded and we are happy with our delusion. We have the happiness of deluded people. And that's, of course, it's one happiness. We can have the happiness of stupefied people. And that's one sort of happiness that we can find. We can have the happiness of foolish people. That's another way of happiness. And then we are satisfied with this happiness. And it's an age of delusion. It's an age of stupidification. It's an age of blindness. So if you really would have been practitioners, you know, we would have been born 50 years ago, when there was still the teacher of Tenachan Man, and when Tenachan Mahabur was still fit. Now you all, what you get is, you know, just one deluded disciple of Tenachan Mahabur. That's all what you have. He's not even able, you know, to grasp 1% of the teaching. So, well, whatever our merit is, that is what we get. Huh? When our merit is, you know, if we don't have enough merit, you know, we will end up with the people, you know, we are deluded, so we look for deluded people, huh? Or deluded teachers, who just don't know. Now get to that state of clear, crisp knowingness, of alertness. You know, it's so alert, you know, you're shocked by this alertness. And it's so beautiful. Why can't you do it? Why do you believe your dreams? Huh? Why do you constantly rush into your dreams? Your imagination, oh, tomorrow will be better. Oh, if I do this, oh, if I do that, oh, if I go this, oh, if I go there. And that's where we're going. That's where we're going. And we never stay there. Never stay there to get that crisp clearness, crisp, sharp awareness, awakeness. You know, we really feel, you know, that's why I say, you know, we're always deluded. Because we're constantly sleeping. Most of the time we're sleeping in the background. Even if, you know, if we put ourselves up with the Buddha, but it's our background, most percentage of our brain is sleeping. Now get that sharp alertness, get that sharp awakeness, the feeling, you know, that the first time in my life I've been actually awake. Get it. Do whatever it takes, huh? To get it. To feel it, you know, that there is something else than this, just this sleeping beauty of deludedness, of illusion, of dreams. We have lived all our life in dreams. Now, wake up from your dreams. Get somebody who disillusions you in a positive sense, not in a negative sense. Invite the people to disillusion. Tell me how shitty I am. Of course you know I'm shitty. My whole body is a bag of shit. Just look inside, you know. When we look what is coming outside, you know, that must be inside, huh? So it's inside. It's kept until it comes out. It's shit. It's piss. It's poos. It's blood. You know, and it comes out. Yeah? We don't like it when we see. So we keep this bag of shit alive. Can't you see it? Open it up. It's like, you know, you have a pillow that is especially soft where you like to put your head on. Especially soft, and it even has a warm radiance. And then one day you get curious, you open it up, and you see it's full of warm shit. Huh? Would you ever put your head up again on it? No. You're disillusioned, you will never do that. And it's the same way, you know, open up your body to see it's a bag full of warm shit. To understand it truly, and you won't even want another body. Your disillusion is so great that you don't want another one. And that's the end of the thought. Open it up and see it for yourself. Get aware. Get awake, damn it. Ask yourself what is going on. Am I going in my dreams? Am I following my dreams? Am I following my opinions, views? Or what am I doing? Huh? I'm wasting my time in daydreams. Or on internet games. You know, in the world, you know, they're always that high. day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. They think it's worthwhile wasting their time in the world. But they actually, all what they do is, what we say in German, you know, they just make that time of being die away. You know, way that is comfortable. That's all that we do. With all our life. So get away. Just take a stance and just take that fight. Take up that fight. That is needed to be completely aware. To completely be aware. You don't, you know, it's yours. No, there is a certain happiness, as I said. There's a certain happiness with delusion. You know, when we have a nice imagination, there's a certain happiness that arises with this illusion or imagination. You know, when we picture ourselves to be rich, you know. Some people picture themselves, you know, to be rich and think about all the things they are buying, you know. They're still lying on their couch, you know. And all what they do is they're dreaming. What they are going to do when they're going to be rich. And they love it. But actually, you know, it takes a bit of work, you know, to get rich. So get rich within yourself. Find the riches that are lying within yourself. But that takes a lot of work. And so with this I end the talk.